Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn McGee from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 5th, episode 630. It's brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy
Friday, baby. That is a good thing. I am so excited about this weekend. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why my husband is so excited about this weekend, Glenn. You are going to be so jealous. So jealous. Are you ready? Sitting down?
I'm ready.
Okay. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m., we get to go to birthing class. Woo!
I'm jealous.
Yeah, I said from 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. we get, and they're like, bring snacks and also bring comfortable clothing, pillows, blankets, all of this stuff. Oh, my God. Chad is so excited that he gets to go to birthing class for that many hours.
Now, usually people take these like, you know, an hour a week over 9 weeks. You guys are just piling it all in one day.
Well, you know, we're only going to do this once. Like, we ain't going back. We're both kind of feeling the same way about it. And you know, like, I know some of you are thinking, why would you take a birthing class? I mean, it's going to come out anyway. Can I point out that my doctor, who I have seen, you know, every couple weeks for the past several months, has strongly recommended that we are high candidates for this class. I'm like, do I really have to do this? She's like, I really think it would be a good idea for you guys. Like,
I thought everybody, you know, I didn't think it was strange. I thought everybody did it.
I have talked to a lot of people that are like, we didn't do it. You'll be fine. I'm like, no, our doctor really recommended. And she doesn't get anything from this. She just gets a little bit more sane of a patient, I guess, when it comes time.
That's Chad passing out, the big fighter pilot passing out.
Exactly. We're so, yes, woohoo, from 9 until 4, we get to go lay on the floor and practice breathing techniques, or I don't know. But Chad's like, if we have to watch a video, I don't know what I'm going to do. He's like, I'm not watching the video. I don't want to see somebody else have a baby. I'm like, I don't either, babe. I don't want any
you
part
think
of that.
Do you think that the woman actually remembers all those breathing techniques when they're in a massive amount of pain having a baby?
I don't know. That's what your partner's for, is to remind you of those things, Glenn. And that is why Chad has got to go to this birthing class, because he needs to stay nice and calm. And so when he was complaining about the birthing class yesterday, he's like, seriously? That many hours, do we really have to? I was like, I'm going to need you to be the rock here. I'm the one who has to be in all the pain. So good time.
And then what you really want to hear is your husband telling you what to do while you're having a baby and screaming in pain. That's really what you want to hear at that point.
I can't imagine how this is going to go. This just can't go well. Cannot go well. So I know you're jealous, so I just want to let you know that's what we'll be doing tomorrow. Woohoo!
I'm really disappointed you didn't invite me. I really am. I would have flown out for that.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
There's a reason that we had never had kids. That's one of them right there.
Yeah.
Jennifer, what's
the fact that your
today's
wife is it's the fact that your wife is currently typing to me, stop talking about babies. Too much baby talk. Like, no, no, we're talking about babies. We're talking about babies. I haven't talked about a baby in 6 months. There's baby talk and there's baby talk. Jennifer, do you want me to
talk
about
baby birthing talk?
Listen, I'm at least telling you about the birthing class before it happens. I'm not telling you about the outcome, okay? Please.
Oh, that's Chad.
Please. And you're going to lie to me. Please, Jamie. You are not going to videotape having the baby. Oh, dear God. I'm not letting anybody. Chad can't even go past the curtain. Stand here, buddy. Behind the head. Behind the head. Come on.
Going old school.
Oh, God. I prefer, y'all just knock me out and wake me up when this whole thing's over.
There we go. I like that. On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we are introduced to a brand new competition venue created for all disciplines, featuring specifically designed attributes to give everyone the home court advantage. Thank you to Rod Miller, who will be here later this morning. And a really bad ad arrives with an abundance of unintentional satire, sarcasm, and spoofery. And thank you very much, thesaurus.com, for your word of the day. Today's concluding codicil, several lists that feature frivolous findings from Glenn. And I can't talk today.
Okay, I told you it was too early to talk like that, Jennifer. I warned you.
And see, you're right. What happened? I can't talk.
Time for some coffee.
You got to break it down.
You're up for your daily winning. You're first.
You know, my daily winning is kind of long as well, Glenn. So do you want me to go through the whole thing right now?
Sure. I got to turn my fan on. So you get started. I'll be back.
Okay. Bye. So, Jennifer, my daily winning goes out to Mustang Monument. Now, you know, Helene and I got to sit down with Madeline Pickens and talk to her about Mustang Monument. It's a wild horse eco resort and wild horse preserve, and it's in Wells, Nevada, and it is opening this spring. Like, it should be open anytime. They're saying they're accepting reservations for June through September. Okay, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go to a place that's 900 square miles, a resort with all these Mustangs that Madeline Pickens has set free in this 900 square miles. And so I said, Chad, we've got to go. Oh, my gosh. I want to go so bad. Let's go. And apparently Salt Lake City, you can fly into Salt Lake City, which is like such a cheap flight from Phoenix. And we looked that up. I was like, it's going to be easy. We just rent a car. It's like a two-hour drive from Salt Lake City. This is going to be great. So excited. Then I go to the Mustang Monument website and see what the pricing is. Okay, I'm going to read from you. It's luxury accommodations. Anytime it says that, you know you're out. Luxury teepee, double occupancy, 490 square feet of living space with leather, plush chairs, hardwood floors. This is a teepee. Custom-made bed. It's a lap of luxury. They were designed for couples, families, or small groups seeking adventure and superior accommodations. Finest decor and amenities. I'm skipping through this, okay? The other one is the luxury safari tent. They're safari tents combining Western heritage with resort comfort. Blah, blah, blah. They're priced per room, per night. You get gourmet Western dishes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You get
Which
drinks,
means barbecue,
food,
by the way.
Amenities. Well, you would think it would mean barbecue until you realize that the luxury teepee is $1,200 a night. A night!
Whoa!
And the luxury safari tents are $1,800 a night.
Oh!
Night.
You could buy the tent for that. I could buy a lot of tents for that.
I don't understand. Hey, who's going to come to this? Like, horse people are broke.
Well, it's not going to be horse people.
The amenities, you have 24-hour butler service, room
to
service, a word, and your teepee.
Now, does a teepee have a bathroom?
Luxurious bathing, Glenn. Inside the teepee bathroom, you will find a custom-made two-person shower and bathtub near the center of the teepee. A rain shower completes the tranquil experience of truly being in the middle of the wilderness, but with all the fine amenities from home, including high-end soap and toiletries. How do you get a shower in a teepee? You know what that is? That's the little hole that's in the top of the teepee that the smoke's supposed to go out. They put a shower head up there.
I'm kind of getting the picture, Jennifer, that these are not just teepees, okay? These are, like, ridiculous teepees. So my daily Winnie goes out to Madeline Pickens and the Mustang Monument because they're opening up and it's going to be such a great experience and such a great thing for the horses, but I'm so disappointed at the pricing. I'm so disappointed. Only Madeline Pickens and her husband are going to be able to afford to go here.
And their friends. And their friends.
And their friends.
Yeah. Which is probably the way she wanted it, to be honest.
They need to have, like, the broke-ass division. Okay, you guys, all you cheap ones, you're on the south side.
Are you going to be able to go in without staying over, you know, to visit the wild horses on the 900 acres? Are they going to have, like, a day pass that's only, like, $700?
Well, the thing is, Glenn, you are so in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's nothing else around here. So I think you have to spend the night. But by the time you make the trip all the way there,
we know her personally. You spend hours with her. We know her personally. We'll just call her up and we'll get you a free night.
Oh, yeah, because it'll cost, one night, I need about 4 days to at least stay there to make the trip worth it. It's so in the middle of nowhere if you fly. But if you fly into Salt Lake City, not that bad. Again, it's not about me. It's about all of us.
I know.
I'm so disappointed.
Well, maybe the cheap TPs without the shower are coming next. Maybe this is just phase one.
They're going to have, like, ghetto version of Mustang Monument for those of us who can't afford
cardboard boxes.
Yeah, exactly. Here you go. Here's your real teepee. It's on the dirt floor. There's no shower. You know, I'm fine with that. It's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah. They'll have community showers, and they'll be out in the middle of, you know, the complex right in the middle of all the teepees.
Exactly.
Yeah. That'll be $400 a night for the poor people.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, that's a little different than the way she explained it when she was on our show a while back.
I know. I still want to get her on and talk to her again about just being open. And then I do want to ask her, I'm like, okay, there are some of us who will never be able to afford that. And to me, going to Mustang Monument is like a dream trip to go and see the horses in the wild and sleep there. And can you imagine in Wells, Nevada, the stars in the sky that you would see outside your teepee? I mean, it would just be amazing. And I just cannot believe how, I mean, this is like, you can find a trip to Spain, round trip, airfare included, for less than $1,800.
I know. I could do a lot of things with $1,800.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, here we go. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to somebody I don't think had anything to do with horses, but that was Roger Ebert, passed away yesterday at the age of 70 after fighting cancer for a lot of years. He actually, you know, has had a tough time over the last 4 years with the cancer, but never showed it, kept on working. You know, for us oldsters, Siskel and Ebert was something we watched all the time. It was something that you wanted to catch every week because they were so much fun to watch, you know, talking about the movie. Well, they did last year. The Sight and Sound magazine conducted a poll of all the movie critics around the country, and they asked what their top movies of their lifetime or of all time were. And so this is Roger Ebert's last recorded list of his top movies. And I want to know how many you've actually seen, Jamie, because there's not too many on here I've seen. And, of course, you know, these guys are movie critics, so they go back and watch movies back to the beginning of movies. you know, ones you and I would never watch. But they watch them, and they include them in this list. So a lot of them are that. But I don't even know how to say the next, first one. Is it Aguirre, Wrath of God, a 1972 story of a Spanish soldier? Never saw that one. Apocalypse Now I did see. I don't know if you saw Apocalypse Now, a very violent, gory Vietnam War movie, but that still haunts me to this day. Apocalypse Now is on that list.
That means that's a no for me.
No, that one haunts me to this day. For anybody that saw it, the scene down the river, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Citizen Kane, Orson Welles movie from 1941. I never saw that. Everybody talks about Citizen Kane, but I never saw it. Did you ever see that, Jennifer? She saw old movies a lot.
Read the book.
Yeah. La Dolce Vita, which was made in 1960 about somebody in Rome. So I didn't see that one. The General, a Buster Keaton movie in 1927. Didn't see that one. Raging Bull, Martin Scorsese movie released in 1980. Did you see that, the boxing movie?
No, but isn't that Robert De Niro as the boxer?
I think so. I think it is. Okay. In his younger days.
I've seen the movie poster. So far, Glenn, Aguirre, Wrath of God, Apocalypse Now, Citizen Kane, La Dolce Vita, The General, Raging Bull. I've seen zero.
Okay. The next one I actually saw with my brothers and my dad. My dad took all of us to see this movie soon after it came out. We were little then. But he took us all to see this movie because we thought it was so cool. It was 2001, A Space Odyssey. And Jennifer asked me if I slept through it, and I was so young I don't remember, to be honest with you.
What year were you born, Glenn? Because that came
out in
1962.
We were born in 62, so we were like 5 or 6 when we went to see this movie. It came out in 68.
So let me point out the reason your father took you. It's because he wanted to see it.
Right.
So he wanted
my
to
mom
go
didn't.
Drag the kids along. Yeah.
That's right. Tokyo Story, released in 1953. Never saw it. The Tree of Life, a 2011 film. You see that one?
No, I never even heard of it.
Okay. And Vertigo was an Alfred Hitchcock movie. By the way, we just saw Hitchcock. We just watched that on pay-per-view. Did you see the new Hitchcock movie?
I never did. Is it good?
It was pretty good. I don't know, Jennifer, what do you think? I thought it was pretty good. It was fun. It gave you the full view of how weird he was. He was a strange cookie,
yeah.
Alfred Hitchcock.
And it was a lot of fun because they took so many of the elements of his own filmmaking and put them into this biopic. So I really enjoyed it a lot, yeah.
It was pretty cool. You would like it, I think. We might agree on that one.
I think Alfred Hitchcock is fascinating, but what I'd like to point out on the list, Roger Ebert, God rest his soul, did not put one John Wayne movie. Really? Can't get one John Wayne movie?
John Wayne did not do so well with the critics. Movie critics didn't like John Wayne. Because he couldn't act, and he really, if you watch some of the John Wayne movies, some of them he was okay in, some it was like, really?
Understand, John Wayne played John Wayne. That's what made
him
good.
True. Every movie he was ever in, he played himself.
Right.
Yeah. I forget what the Vietnam
movie
he was in.
Have you ever seen the movie The Searchers?
No.
That is a freaking awesome John Wayne movie. We actually watch John Wayne movies all the time, Chad and I do. So I'm shocked that
you got
there's
that
not
from
at
your
least
dad.
John Wayne.
You get that from your dad.
Of course.
He was in a movie called The Green Beret, too, about Vietnam that I liked. I liked that movie.
Okay, so you got one. But Roger Ebert, yeah. I mean, seriously, none. And how can The Man from Snowy River not make the list of the top 10 best films of all time?
Not a single horse movie on there. Not a one.
Nope.
Not a one. You're right, Jennifer. Listen, are there horses in The Tree of Life?
I was going to say, there might have been a horse in The General, the 1927 movie, because cars weren't so prevalent back then. So there might have actually been one horse in that movie.
And the good thing about that is it's a silent movie, so there'd be no fake Winnie.
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Now, every time we see a movie where there's a dog and a fake bark or a fake meow, Jennifer says that every time we see a fake dog, fake bark, fake meow, every time we see movies now, you notice all the fake animal noises.
Because your wife points them out.
She does every time. Well, that's the end of an era for Siskel and Ebert. So I just wanted to bring that up today.
Oh, very sad. Very sad. And we wish his family the best. Well, hey, we are exactly, let's see, today's the 5th. We are less than 1 month away from the Kentucky Derby, Glenn. 1 month away from the Kentucky Derby. Today's the 5th. Saturday, May 4th, is when Churchill Downs will have its, let's see, which running of the Kentucky Derby is this? I mean, this has got to be like 100 and something, 150 million running of the Kentucky Derby. Now, they've changed the entire system of how horses kind of qualify for the Kentucky Derby. It used to be graded stakes earnings, but they've changed all of that just due to fairness, and they've moved to a point system. And now we have, according to all the prep races, and earnings are a tiebreaker. There's too many ways to even imagine that they've put all this together. We now have a top, I don't know, 100, but I have the top 20, because that's how many will run in it, list of horses that are qualified for the Kentucky Derby. Now, Glenn, I'm going to go through the names, and I'm not going to go through their stakes earnings or their points or whatever, but I'm going to go through their names, and I'm just going to throw them out there, and you have to pick one, because that's how you do it, right? Glenn?
Here we go again,
Glenn. Oh, is he talking to himself over there?
He's over there talking to himself. I'll go let him know.
I'm back. Am I back?
You're back.
Hello?
You're back.
Okay. Good.
Where did you go?
I don't know. I just disappeared for a minute.
Okay. Well, I'm
going
to
I will pick based on my scientific system.
All right. You want the top 20 or just maybe like the top 10?
Top 10 will be good.
Okay. Well, I do like number 18. His name is Falling Sky. That's really pretty. Okay, so the top 10 in Derby point standings, starting with number 10, My Lute. Okay. Number 9, Verrazano.
Like the instrument, lute? Like a lute?
M-Y-L-U-T-E, but it's all one word. So, yes, it is like the instrument, but it's one word. So,
okay.
No, they crammed it together. Verrazano is number 9.
Like the bridge.
Okay. You get that. I don't. Number 8 is Black Onyx. Black
like the jewelry.
Onyx. Yes. Number 7, let's see how you put this one together. Governor Charlie.
The only Charlie reference that comes to mind is Charlie Sheen, and I guarantee he's never been a governor.
There's got to be something else. There's some other Charlie.
Charlie Sheen comes to mind when I hear Charlie.
Number six is Vijack. V-Y-J-A-C-K, Vijack.
Got nothing on that one.
Number 5, all one word, It's My Lucky Day. It's My Lucky Day.
That's a good name for a racehorse.
That's a great racehorse name.
That's a really good name. So far, that's my favorite.
Okay. Number 4, another great name, Will Take Charge.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right. But that kind of follows number 3, which is Lines of Battle. Lines of Battle.
Too.
Yeah.
That's a dramatic. That's a John Wayne movie right there, Lines of Battle.
Well, it is. And it follows number 2, which is also a John Wayne movie title. It should be Revolutionary. Revolutionary. That's good. So
okay.
We got Will Take Charge, Lines of Battle, and Revolutionary. And then number 1.
It's going to be a war.
I know. It's going to be a battle. Sugar McGahee trained Orb. Orb.
Yeah, Orb is the one you talked about the other day. Orb.
Yes.
See, that's where you get the aliens involved in the battle. Because Orb sounds like it should be something, you know, alien. So you've got the aliens, you know, in with Revolutionary Lines of Battle, and We'll Take Charge. You've got a intergalactic war.
Did you ever see the movie Cowboys versus Aliens?
Yes, what a great movie that was.
That was awesome. It was awesome. Some notable ones. 19 is Departing. Number 15 is Java's War. Number 12, Uncaptured. So we've got a bunch of great names.
Oh, listen
so,
to this.
So,
This one sounds like a James Bond movie. Number 14, Golden Sense.
Yes, Golden Sense. I like it.
Sounds like a James Bond
Falling
movie.
Sky is like a James Bond movie too. So Glenn, of those you've got the list. What's your favorite one so far?
I kind of like It's My Lucky Day, just because I think it's one of the best names ever for a racehorse.
That is a great name. And It's My Lucky Day is trained by Eddie Pellizza Jr. with only 50 points and $593,000 in non-restricted stakes earnings. So there you go. So
which
far,
is yours?
Your
if you're picking by name, which would you pick?
Oh, if I was picking by name in the top 10? I don't know. I kind of like the name Governor Charlie.
Bob Baffert, or
there's a Bob Baffert.
You got to wonder how that one got. We have to find out how that one got its name, and I'm sure there'll be articles about it. But
definitely. Yeah. And I do like the name Orb as well, because that is just short and sweet. And it'd be fun to hear an Orb coming around the turn. Orb is in the lead. That's what I try to think of the announcer saying it.
Yeah, there's some names here there's not any real tongue twister names for the announcers. By Jack, Verrazano's got to be hard to say over and over again fast.
Yeah, but no, nothing too bad. But of 10, we've got 1 month to go, and horses are coming up and dropping like flies, so we'll see who's going to be in the final finish here. But this is about as close a list as we could find right now. So that is your top 10, at least, names that are qualified for the Kentucky Derby. Again, you have like 30 days left. 30 days left, people.
And that means we'll start doing some coverage, having some guests on to talk about it. We'll have some people from HRTV. We'll get Frankie back on, and we will have some talk about the Kentucky Derby. And we'll also have some talk about the race that's after that, which will remain unnamed right now because it's Friday, and I don't want to torture Jamie. So,
did you have the music ready?
I don't have it ready. If I did, I would have. I would have tricked you into saying the name. I don't. But I'll get that Kegasus music loaded up and keep it handy.
All right, good. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Well, let's take a break for our title sponsor this Friday, and that's Kentucky Performance Products. We're going to have a Kentucky Performance Products Nutritional Minute for you, and that's immediately going to be followed by an interview that I did with a guy by the name of Rod Miller, who runs a website called the IPHDA, the International Performance Horse Development Association. And he is going to be a sponsor here on the Horse Radio Network. And I thought it would be interesting for our morning show audience to hear what the IPHDA is and what it does.
Yeah.
Some of you may be interested in it because, especially the Western riders out there. So we're going to hear about that right after this word from the Kentucky Performance Product. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Did you know that easy keepers and horses on restricted diets are often at risk for vitamin and mineral deficiencies? Most easy keepers are maintained on hay, and some get a few handfuls of grain a day, and most of these horses get little to no green grass. Diets that don't include significant levels of green grass or recommended amounts of fortified concentrates just don't supply enough vitamins and minerals. Many horse folks don't realize that hay alone, even high-quality green hay, is not an adequate source of many vitamins. For example, when grass is cut and dried for hay, the vitamins quickly lose their potency. 70% of the vitamin E found in grass is lost in the first week after it is cut for hay. One way to ensure that your special needs horse is getting all the vitamins and minerals he needs is to add a vitamin and mineral supplement to his diet. A well-balanced supplement will provide the nutrients your horse requires without adding unwanted calories, starches, and sugars. Microphase, made by Kentucky Performance Products, is a vitamin and trace mineral supplement that bridges the gap in your feeding program. With Microphase, your horse receives adequate and balanced vitamin and mineral nutrition without unwanted calories or other ingredients. The minerals in microphase have been chelated, a process that protects minerals during digestion and increases their absorption in the intestines. Microphase provides vitamins, such as vitamin E, in a natural form, so your horse receives optimal results from this supplement.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. Hi, Glenn here with the Horse Radio Network, and I want to introduce Rod Miller of the IPHDA as a new sponsor to the show. Welcome, Rod.
Oh, thank you, Glenn. It was a privilege to talk to you.
Thank you so much for sponsoring our shows. We really appreciate that. And I want to learn more in this segment about the IPHDA. What is it, other than a mouthful?
Well, it's the International Performance Horse Development Association. And when we first developed the program back in 2007, we were working on it. We were looking for different names for what we wanted to do, and we knew it was a mouthful, but PhD was kind of what we were looking for because it's basically about education and learning. And what we do, it evolved over the last 6 years. This is we're putting on our 6 year of V shows, which are virtual shows, were held online. It's evolved into a online horse association that has more than our educational classes now. It actually has just some fun classes as well, like we have our ranch horse classes that include in-hand trail, ranch riding, ranch trail classes, reining, and we've even developed a judge barrel racing pattern to help people get some feedback from our judges on how to develop a barrel horse.
So if I am a listener right now and I want to participate and think this is a really cool idea, what do I do?
First thing you do is go to IPHDA.com or InternetHorseShows.com, and you will see a sign-up page of you. You know, it says join IPHDA. You can watch a V-show on the website, see the results, look at some of the judges' feedback that we've given, look at the awards we've given. We're online. That's why we want to advertise to your listeners, is because they listen to radio online, and we want to convince them to try horse showing online.
And to do that, I have to submit a video of me doing a pattern or a test or...
Yes, and that brings up one of the unique features of IPHDA is before we will put a class on our show, our V show, it has to meet a couple criteria. And we sometimes tweak the judging requirements, but basically what we do is the class that we put on, the facility the exhibitor has to ride in, has no effect on the ability of the horse and rider to meet the judging criteria, okay? And that means that any measurements, placings of obstacles, or any markers in the pen have no effect on the judging criteria. So it's a different way of, because we realize that your judge has a two-dimensional view when he's judging, and that's why we're able to give away the awards we are, is simply because it does not matter where a person takes their video, as long as they ride the proper pattern that they're entering, they have just as good a chance of winning if they're riding in a snow-covered parking lot as somebody does riding in a groomed indoor arena.
So I don't have to have an arena then. I can do it in my grass backyard if it's big enough.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Most of our classes are that way, yes. The only thing that we tell people that they need to do is they need to have somebody to run a video camera. And sometimes that's the hardest part for people.
Well, and most people can do that with their phones even now. So that's become a lot easier than it was in the past, too. Now, I'm looking at the different classes you offer at the IPHDA, or if they want to go to internethorseshow.com. And you have performance horse classes, ranch horse versatility classes, ranch reining. What is ranch reining as opposed to reining that we already know about?
Well, if we basically put the ranch reining in, it basically is a reining class. To make it fit our criteria, all we did was take out the need to extend the horse's stride to the stop. Okay, so when our patterns, it says stop, it does not say run down to a stop. So basically what happens is your horse will slide if your ground is if your ground works and your horse has what we call forward energy and
right.
balance and
right.
going to it without running faster. It just allows people without good ground to be able to show in this class. Okay, now this is one class that I wouldn't recommend people show in a grass field. They will need, you know, you should have some
yeah.
kind of dirt.
Footing,
okay?
yeah.
Right, but it does not have to be sliding ground for reiners.
Right. So you don't need the super
okay.
big slide at the end, which
no.
you really only should be doing with proper footing anyway.
Exactly. Right. And what we do is we actually do not allow, even if a person is showing has proper footing for reining, we do not allow them to extend their stride and run fast to that stop.
So one of the cool things about doing the online horse show with you guys is the feedback you get from the judges. You're learning something along the way. You're learning, you know, what judges are looking for, you know, for perhaps the next time you go to a real horse show and not a virtual one. But one of the cool things is you can go in and watch the tests and take a look at the feedback of other riders and learn from that as well, not just your own horse and your own ride.
That's correct. When we put up the judges' scorecards on and place our V-shows, the scorecards are accessible to anybody that goes in and watches the show. The feedback is put on. That is the other part we didn't mention, is every class, when the judge scores it, we have a box on there for judges' comments. So the judges give feedback on, you know, sometimes why they marked the way they did, and a lot of times, depending on the judge, they'll even offer tips and pointers on how to improve for the next time.
Well, Rod, what does it cost to enter a class, and do I win money?
Well, it costs $25 to enter any one of our classes unless you're under 18, and we do have a youth division in the performance horse development classes when they're $15. But for $25, you can enter any class that we have, and yes, you do win awards, a number of awards. We not only have you don't only win awards for winning a class, we also have personal achievement awards. And some of the awards that we do have are personal achievement conchos, which come with the level that you've passed with you and your horse. We have trophy buckles twice a year in our finals. We've given away 6 saddles since we started in 2008. The amount of awards we award is somewhere around $4,000 to $5,000 a year. And some of that is what we call awards cash, which really has no cash value, where you can't just call us and ask for a check. But what it does do is we've got it up where you can buy gift cards to 3 or 4 different online tack stores, feed stores, that type of thing.
To find out more about all of this, you go to internethorseshow.com. Just go to internethorseshow.com. And, you know, scroll around, check out how it's done, watch a couple of the videos, and learn more about the IPHDA. Thank you, Rod, for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Glenn, for your time.
That was the IPHDA. You can find them at internethorseshow.com. Well, Jamie, this month, April, is Adopt a Greyhound Month. We're happy to say.
That is awesome. I also would like to tell you that I did find a list of other things April is a month of. So
yeah.
I have a list as well. Before you go into your list of Greyhound, I just wanted to let you know that it is also April, maybe, what's it, Adopt a Greyhound Month? What is it again?
Yep, Adopt a Greyhound Month.
April is National Adopt a Greyhound Month. It's also National African Americans Women's Fitness Month, National Alcohol Awareness Month, National Amateur Radio Month, also celebrate
<That's us>.
Diversity. Huh?
That's us, National Amateur Radio Month.
Exactly. It's also, this could be you too, it's National Fresh Florida Tomato Month. So
we have our tomato plants growing. We do.
Yes. Scary enough, it's actually National Multiple Birth Awareness Month. I'm not having multiples, so I don't care. It's National Pecan Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, National Soy Food Month, and National Better Hearing and Speech Month, amongst other things. So it is really, April is a month to celebrate.
I'll tell you what, it's also my birthday month. Just throwing that in there in case anybody cares. But
it's also,
you know,
Rolex
month. It is also Rolex month. That's true. That's true. Well, Jennifer and I took some time this morning because we love our greyhounds. And you know, rescuing a greyhound is like rescuing a thoroughbred. They're the racing version of, you know, thoroughbreds. They're often compared to thoroughbreds, actually. And we do see a lot of similarities there. But it also gave me an excuse to play this, which we haven't played in a long time. All right, so the top 10 reasons for owning a greyhound. Jennifer and I put this together, and no particular order. They're very friendly. Greyhounds enjoy being with people and other dogs. They usually get along with everybody. We have found very few greyhounds, actually, that don't get along with other dogs. Or there are some that don't get along with cats. If you have cats, you want to make sure when you adopt one, they do check them to see if they're cat-proof. And, yes, they stick them in a room with a cat, and if the cat comes out alive, they're cat-proof.
No way. They do not do that.
Well, they probably have a more scientific way of doing that. But they do put them in a room with a cat and see what happens. So, but I think the dog is on a leash. That would be a great job for the beast, wouldn't it? He would love that. You know, greyhound tester. He would love that.
Yeah, my cat Frank would be good at that, too. He'd be good at that, too.
He would love the challenge, like, go ahead and attack me. I'll scratch your face off. On a whole, they don't bark. One of my favorite things about a greyhound, about 95% of them don't bark. And when I mean don't bark, I mean don't bark. Now, we have heard her bark 5 times since we got her, you know, in almost 2 years. So they just, now, we have met some greyhound owners who have had barky ones, but that is very rare. We went to a greyhound picnic one time where there must have been 250 greyhounds there, and it was in a park. And there was just no barking all day. Can you imagine if you went to a Chihuahua or a Jack Russell convention and there were 250 of them there?
Or any dog I've ever owned convention?
The greyhound is a low-maintenance dog. That's true. There's not a lot of maintenance with the greyhounds. They're usually kennel-trained when you get them. You don't have the puppy issues because you're basically adopting them as an adult. Same thing as when you get an OTTB. Greyhounds are great conversation starters.
They're kennel trained?
That's right. They're kennel trained. Matter of fact, they love their kennel. We still have a kennel for Glory, and she still goes in her kennel every night. And when it storms or when she gets nervous about something, we put her in her kennel, shut the door, and she's fine. They love their kennel because they love being in it.
Does she ever go in there, like, voluntarily? Does she just, when it starts to storm, she go in?
Yep, she'll go in. She'll sleep in there. You know, she likes it in there. And every greyhound we've had likes their kennel because they grew up in kennels. You know, that's where they start. They're great conversation starters. And this is for all you single people out there. If you're walking a greyhound, everybody asks about the greyhound. First thing they say is, your dog is so skinny. That's the first thing they say every time.
Your dog is a chick magnet.
Yes. Or a guy magnet, as the case may be. Because guys think greyhounds are cool, too, because they're the racing dogs. You know, they're cool. So, So that's a good one.
Hold on. So you say your dog, somebody comes up to you and goes, your dog is so skinny. And that's like a conversation. What are they accusing you of, not feeding your dog?
No, it's just that a lot of people have never seen a greyhound up close. You know, they have never really met one in person. So when you first meet one, you go, yeah, they're really skinny. Like, you know, an in-shape thoroughbred looks skinny to most people.
Yeah.
True.
Yet, you know, and it's the same thing with the greyhounds. You know, once you get used to seeing them, it's not such a big thing. And we have occasionally seen a fat greyhound, and they look better skinny.
Yeah. Hey, can I give you a side note? Can I deviate here? Speaking of skinny and fat and all that, yesterday this something happened to me for the first time. You know, I'm 7.
You got accused of being skinny?
No, definitely not. I am 7.5 months pregnant. Okay, so there's a belly. It's pretty obvious. I have to wear maternity clothes. Yes, I'm still riding, but you know, I'm trying to stay active. But yesterday I went on base, on the Air Force base, to buy some supplies, and I was in line, and, you know, my supplies include, like, candy and chocolate and things like that. Well, no more.
The
important stuff. No more. Because I get, they have maternity shirts there, and I needed a couple new shirts. So I'm in line, and I go to checkout, and the lady looks at me, and she looks at me up and down. She goes, "Are you having twins?" And I go, "Excuse me? No, I'm not having twins." She goes, "Wow, you are huge. Are you kidding me? Wow, you're huge." And I said, "Do you have kids?" And we're in line. There's a line of people behind me, like military people. Everybody's in line behind me. And this is the conversation I'm having with the freaking checkout girl. "Wow, are you having twins? You're huge." And I said, "Listen, I said, do you have kids?" And she goes, "Yes." And I go, "Did you appreciate it when people said you were huge?" She's like, And I go, "And did you have twins?" She goes, "Actually, I did have twins." And I was like, "So do I look like you? Do I look like you? 7.5 months pregnant, I'm actually in pretty good shape, I thought, but no, now I'm like, I don't even want the candy. I want nothing. Take it all back. I just want the fat girl shirt. Give me the fat girl shirt and nothing else because I'm done talking to you. I cannot believe that somebody would sit there and ask, and they told me it would happen. They told me it would happen, but I didn't think it would really happen to me. And yes, people ask you, are you having twins because you're huge? There's no time ever that a woman wants to be told she's huge. Ever." Okay, back to your
woman. Did you get arrested? Did you slap her?
That's the closest that's the closest I've ever come to being physically violent with a total stranger.
You know, when I looked at
the dog. It was
when I looked at the last picture of you, I didn't think that. I mean, you look pregnant, but not, you know, not huge. As a matter of fact, I thought, wow, you're not even showing it in your face a whole lot.
Aw, thank you. You know what to say. Well, this was awful to me. I cannot believe it.
I can't, you know, I can hear that. What I'm surprised about in that conversation is I can hear that coming from a 17, 18-year-old girl who's never had a kid. But for a woman that has actually had kids, you know, I'm surprised. I'm surprised.
Yeah, horrible.
All right, the last 5 reasons that you should own a greyhound. Greyhounds are super toasty warm when they sleep on you, and I'm sure that's true of most dogs, but the thing with greyhounds is they're very long, so they keep
they
most
got no
of
fur.
They have no fur.
Direct warm dog contact.
That's true. That is true. Which and the lack of fur too is something that should be on this list because we have more cat hair around the house than we do dog hair. That's for sure. Probably not true in your case, Jamie.
I'm not talking to you anymore. Carry on.
Greyhounds come in cool colors. They cover in almost every color. And the one thing we get a comment a lot with ours is she's very brindled, so we get a comment on her color a lot. And that's the other thing that the other conversation starter. Is, oh, your dog's a cool color. We saw one at the one picnic we went, or two. They were like bookends. At the one picnic we went to that the owner owned two of them, they actually were orange. They do come in this orange brindle, and they were orange. They look like, Tony the Tiger. That's exactly what they look like. And it was amazing to see two of them, same size and everything with the same owner, amazing color dogs. I thought that was really neat. Greyhounds kick butt at the dog park. If you're kind of a manly man and you like your dog to kick butt at the dog park, then this is a dog for you, because there ain't any of those other dogs that are going to beat you. I can't tell you how many times I walked around the dog park and I would have a guy come up with a German Shepherd and say, ah, my dog can run as fast as yours, and I'd just smile. And then when the two dogs would take off, they would always tuck their heads and walk away. there is a little bit of thing that goes on with guys at the dog park.
So. Dude, you know what? It is so true. That is the one comment that, like, Chad with his dog, he's like, my dog is so fast. My dog is so fast. What is it, guys, like, you know, whatever, Zenyatta, my dog is actually faster than his dog, but whatever. I try not to rub it in, because to me, that is, like, the one thing guys love about their dog is how fast they can run.
Yeah, that had happened to me numerous times at the dog park. And it was never a girl that would come up and say, oh, my dog's as fast as your dog. It was always guys. And they always had, like, a German Shepherd or some, like, cool, you know, what manly dog like that. And, you
boxers.
Know, I'm sorry. Yeah. You don't ever challenge a Greyhound. There's a reason they don't race German Shepherds. Let's put it that way. Greyhounds sleep in really weird shapes, and it's fun to post pictures on Facebook. That is true. They do sleep in really weird shapes because they're all tall and skinny and their legs go everywhere. And then they also make really cool collars and blankets for Greyhounds. There's a whole industry making collars and blankets for Greyhounds. So
really?
That's the top. Yeah, there is. And, you know, we fall into it. We have, like, three or four different cool collars. And
Glenn,
we have
wait. We do not have three or four collars. It's three or four collars every year when we go to the Greyhound get together.
Well,
they're having a special three for the price of two. That dog has more collars than you have clothes.
You can't have the same collar on all the time. You got to change it. It's got to look good.
God, you're like a fashionista for your dog. Yes.
So
she's wanting to buy a jacket, too. But hello, we're Florida.
Now, a couple things about Greyhounds, though. If you're looking to adopt a Greyhound and you're a horse person, they are not good dogs to let off the leash. They have to be on a leash or in a fenced-in area, because they hit 35 mile an hour in three strides. So, you know, you're going to see your dog gone in no time at all when they're chasing a rabbit that goes into the woods. And you're not going to get your dog back for a very long time. Ours, actually, when it was at its foster home, when Glory was at her foster home, got loose. She scooted out the door, so one of the kids opened the door or something. It took eight people 3 hours to find her. So, you know, when you're running 35 miles an hour, you can get a long distance in a short period of time, and that's the reason they say you actually sign an agreement with them that you don't take them off their leash. So if you're looking for a dog that's going to be by your side and, you know, all faithful like your Jack Russell, and you're never going to have to put on a leash, then Greyhounds are not the one. But they do make great farm dogs. They get along with all the animals and don't really cause any trouble. Most of the time they sleep. That's their biggest thing. They sleep, and then twice a week they erupt, and you have to put them out in a fenced-in pasture and let them run. So that's the story on owning a Greyhound in National Adopt a Greyhound Month.
Well, cool. I will also talk to you a little bit later about Amateur Radio Month and also African American Women's Fitness Month. So we'll have a list of that later.
Yeah, is it not? So if you're not African American, you don't have to worry about being fit this month? Is that the deal?
Whatever you need to do to make yourself feel better about not working out, Glenn.
I thought I was off the hook there.
It is also National Food Month, so do with that what you will.
Hey, we put Beaker out in a new grass field the other day, and that's our quarter horse. And one of the things that we pretty adamant about is cleaning the paddock every day. Well, the grass is really starting to grow here in Florida. We're officially in rainy season now. It started to rain every day. In the winter, it really doesn't. It's very dry here in the winter. But, you know, about April 1st, it starts to rain every day. So we go out and we clean the paddock every day because we're pretty adamant about that. And you know what it's like to clean grass or to clean poop, horse poop out of grass. It's a pain in the butt. Well, it's not a pain anymore. This, you know, we had pretty much a dirt paddocks underneath live oak trees for a long time for Beaker, and now he has a new paddock. And, we've really gotten to use the equity, the flex and fork, for what it was meant for. Because I'll tell you what, when you're cleaning the poop out of the grass, there's only one manure fork you ever want to use, and that's the flex and fork. It doesn't have that flicking problem that you find with normal forks, that every other fork you'll buy out there. It is just the best for that. And I, you know, Jennifer was out there using it the other day. I cleaned the paddock yesterday, and I would not use any other fork for cleaning a grass paddock than the Flex and Fork from Equity Manufacturing. Excuse me.
Definitely not. I mean, like you said, it's a manure fork that has a suspension system. And it doesn't have the flick. It doesn't have the get caught and stuck. And it's also, you know, to be a little bit of a wuss, it is so much lighter than all the other forks. So much lighter. So your arms don't hurt. And you don't have the back shoulder pain from trying to lift it all up, because it does take a lot of the weight out of it.
It does. It does. The way it's balanced and everything. So take a look at, if you haven't, a lot of our listeners have bought this fork now and love it. If you haven't taken a look yet and you've put off buying a new manure fork because yours is okay, or there's only one tine broken out, by the way, our flex and fork we've had for, what, almost 2 years now, there's no tines broken. Any tines broken on yours?
No, I ran over mine with our gator, and I didn't break it.
By the way, they don't recommend that. I didn't mean to. It's not something you should try and test your manure fork with. But no. They're sturdy. They don't break. Go to equitymfg.com and order some. We had one of our listeners recently that ordered three. She said, well, I just ordered three, so I had them all over the place. Well, that's a way to do it, too. And if you clean more than three stalls a day, we mostly clean outside paddocks, so we have the flex and fork. But if you clean more than three stalls a day, then take a look at the other fork, which is a shaken fork. That one has a little motor. It's motorized. You press a trigger, basically, and it shakes for you. So you can get your work done in half the time and save about half the bedding that you would have been taking out using a regular manure fork. So look at the shaken fork if you clean a lot of stalls. Look at the flexing fork if you only clean a couple stalls and you're doing outside paddocks. And they're all from EquityMFG.com. Well, you started talking about the Run for the Roses. Well, there's a song by Templeton Thompson about that very topic, so I thought we'd get in the mood less than a month away from the Kentucky Derby. This is Run for the Roses by Templeton Thompson, and then we're coming back with the latest batch of Really Bad Ads.
And the
Oh, that is such a beautiful song. That is Templeton Thompson, Run for the Roses. On Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. And you can find them at kppusa.com. Now, I've got a little bit of a side note before we get to really bad ads. I know we're running a little bit late, but just a little personal note. If you go on Facebook and you go to facebook.com/adopthorses, adopt horses, that takes you to the MASH Horses Facebook page, which is MASH Horses is the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department Animal Rescue and the Horse Rescue Facebook page that I have for, that I've created for this adoption facility. Now, I just wanted to let everybody know that there are some recent updates. And some new horses have been released for adoption. The horses are not released until they're medically released or their court case is over. And a couple court cases have ended. And so we have a whole bunch of horses that are looking for homes and a couple really nice thoroughbreds, a super nice thoroughbred mare, a fantastic thoroughbred gelding. Both are broke to ride. And we've got a lovely thoroughbred filly that is ready to be trained. So just head over to MASH Horses Facebook page and like it. I've just posted one, and there's some before pictures of the mare and some after pictures, so you can see what a great job they do with all the horses down there. And also, we'll keep updating that throughout the day. I don't want to flood everybody at the same time with a million horses, but throughout the afternoon, we will be updating everybody on all the available horses. So please go like it. We have 367 likes. Let's see if we can up that to at least 400 by the end of the weekend. So share these horses, please, please, please.
Now, I'm on the MASH Facebook page here. And do they make anything other than red horses in Arizona?
There are a lot of chestnuts, but if you look down, another one that is adoptable is a horse named Diego, if you look straight down.
He's cute.
He is a Pasofino stallion, of course.
Really?
He desperately wants to be gelded. But he is a Pasofino, and rumor has it from the neighbors that lived around where he came from, he has been ridden in parades. He has incredible feet. He's barefoot. I looked at his feet. I was like, oh, my gosh, he's fantastically put together. He's gated. He's very, very sweet, and he's a stallion. So he is, and he's bae. So there you go.
Yeah, he does. But he is cute. I wouldn't have guessed Pasofino at first look at him, though.
Yeah, but he's adorable, yeah. And he needs a home. And he really needs to be gelded really bad. I'm trying to.
They don't
make
do
that
there. They don't geld them there.
You know, because it is a facility that is run on donations only, they really don't do a lot of those things that I think are very necessary. So unfortunately, I'm trying to get that actually changed. The officer Trombley, who was on the show with us not too long ago, and I are trying to get it required to have gelding horses gelded, because we had we had a quarter horse stallion that was there, and the guy that adopted him was like, I can't wait to breed him to my mares. And I'm like, really? Why would you breed this horse? And it just, anyway, that was like a kind of a wake-up moment. So trying to get them all gelded before they leave. But it's not like a dog facility where they spay and neuter, you know, upon adoption. So
right.
Hopefully.
It's funny when you said, it just caught me when you said, well, you know, I talk like I work there. I'm glad you don't live there, is what I'm
Me too, my friend. Me too.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads this week, the time of week everybody looks forward to. One of our listeners posted on their Facebook page, oh, the Really Bad Ads are my favorite time of the week. Everybody has to listen. We would love for you to encourage other people to listen to our show. Feel free to post it on your Facebook page. Let's get everybody in the horse world listening to Horses in the Morning. And we have two prizes today. We have a Spur Suader, your choice of English or Western Spur Suader. We talked about them the other day. They are the, I call them the friendly spurs. They have a round sort of, what, quarter-sized, what do you call it, a button, button spur. And so they're less, you know, they're not jabbing your horse in the ribs. They're not, you know, they're not causing your horse to bleed or any of that stuff. It really is a more gentle way to handle wearing spurs. And there was some quotes on their website, and one of them was from Lauren from Virginia, who said, it's been fun watching my horse's reaction to the Spur Suaders. Usually when I wear spurs and even lightly touch her with them, her ears go straight back and she swishes her tail. There's a lot of horses like that. When I use the Spur Suaders, she'll flick an ear but not fuss about it. She moves off my leg nicely now to the right, but now we're not fighting. I can see that she's stiff to the left, and we need to work on that. So thanks for helping me discover that. A lot of times when we use certain aids like, you know, nastier spurs, you miss some things in the training because your aids are actually getting in the way of the training, and the Spur Suaders won't do that. So we are giving away.
How do you feel about when you use your Spur Suaders on your horse?
They don't do a darn thing because when you're in the carriage, all you're doing is putting, you're just taking chips out of the paint of your carriage. That's all that's really happening there.
I just wanted to hear you talk about your aids a little bit more. That was awesome.
That's why we have a whip with a very long lash. You just touch them on the side. That's our aids. But the spurs really don't work so well. But they look good. You look good wearing them.
All right, do the ad. Do the first
well,
ad. It's your
okay.
ad.
Well, wait a minute. We got the other prize. We're also giving away an HRN mug with a tin of Ghirardelli drinking chocolate, the best drinking chocolate in the world, and along with the Horse Radio Network mug.
And Ghirardelli needs to pay us for saying that.
Yeah.
Hello, Ghirardelli.
Yeah.
If you're listening,
yeah, good
luck. Let's go.
Just so you know, don't drink the Ghirardelli chocolate. Don't melt it. Just eat it straight out of the tin. That's what we do.
We haven't tried that yet. I need to try that to see what it's like.
Awesome.
We've never done that. We actually followed the instructions. See, there was our mistake.
Nope.
Really bad ads. The first one I always do is kind of a funny one I find in the best of ads section, and here is one that caught me off guard in the second paragraph. So here's the first paragraph. The title says, free trampoline. Okay, here's the deal. This is a free trampoline. It had the enclosure netting and worked fine, although the padding and plastic around all of the springs had weathered and gotten shredded pretty well. Over the course of the winter, I think the week before Super Bowl, we had a day with such strong winds. The trampoline was literally lifted out of our backyard over our five-foot fence, and maybe not quite lifted fully because it knocked the corner post, and it blew into our neighbor's pond. What you may do is use a very long rope or something to get it out of the pond from the road, as I cannot permit you to drive in someone else's yard, as it was carried into the pond two lots over. Once it's out of the pond, you may disassemble it, and carry it out. If this is any interest to you, please let me know, and I'll give you further details.
Oh, my God.
You think he got any calls for the trampoline that was at the bottom of the lake?
For a whole entire winter that was already rusty. What do you think it looks like now?
I love how he talks about the padding and plastic all around the springs had weathered. Who cares? It's now been drowned for a half a year.
I mean, the whole thing, you're going to take one jump on that thing and fall right to the ground. That's like Tosh.0 video waiting to happen. Right there.
This is somebody who basically was lazy enough that he didn't want to go get it out of the lake himself. That's basically.
And he's probably in trouble with the HOA for letting his thing blow into the thing. So he's just trying to get somebody, here, free trampoline, man, come and get it.
And the neighbor hates him. That's why he's not allowed to go onto the property to get the trampoline out. So he's letting you do it. You're the one that's going to get shocked by the neighbor.
You actually have to, like, somehow attach a rope through two neighborhood homes all the way to this pond and drag it back through his backyard. That is good luck. Good luck. Have fun with that.
All right, now on for the ads that have been submitted by our listeners.
All right, Gemma sent this one in, and it's very wordy, and I don't know if you're going to, you know, just sit tight. 15-year-old quarter horse is the title. Really wordy, from Orem, Utah. He's an awesome horse, requires experienced rider. That's it.
And? Oh, wait for the rest.
That's it. That's a bad ad. That is a bad ad.
He is an awesome nut job that requires an experienced rider. That's what it should have said. Yep.
Again, people forget they're trying to sell something. Trying to sell something.
Well, he's 15 years old. What else do you need to know? And he's crazy. And he's awesome.
He's awesome.
Next one was sell. By the way, we have to thank, we have to make a comment about this. We had so many new people submitting ads this week that we haven't seen before. Thank you for taking time to get onto Really Bad Ad or to get onto Craigslist and send these ads in. We appreciate it. And one of those, I think, is Chelsea O'Neill. It seems like a new name to me. Great trail horse, Paco. Paco is a 9-year-old registered Pinot gelding. A Pinot gelding. Great trail horse and the husband and child Faith has current Coggins. He has had his yearly exam, including vaccines and sheath cleaning, asking $1,500. Partial trades will be considered. Trail horse that has some go to it in an Appaloosa would be great, and or firearms. They always get guns. They always get the guns in there, don't they? But it's a Pinot gelding, and she's looking for something that has some go to it.
Or he. So, that sounds like a dude. Okay, and that is a person that cannot pass the firearm exam, like the background check. So we'll just trade you a horse for guns.
And I love how in the yearly exam, the sheath cleaning was top priority, right on top of the list there. Had to bring that up.
That's the expensive part of horse care.
The gross part.
All right.
So you're right. It probably was a guy because there's no guys like sheath cleaning. So.
Yeah, no. I don't think girls like sheath cleaning either, Glenn. Okay, it's just necessary evil. But guys just won't do it. Beth sent in this one. It is Wellbroke Bay Gelding, $550 in southeastern Oklahoma. We're talking sticks. 10-year-old gelding, well-built, has shoes on right now. They have been on for a while now. Gets along with livestock. He has been with goats, sheep, ducks, llamas, barking dogs. Yes, he gets along with horses, and most of the time he stands still for anything. He does good for me, and almost anyone with horse sense, spelled wrong, can ride him. But when it comes to his back feet being shooed, he can be a butthead. He is not for a beginner horse farrier. He is a very easygoing horse. He has never offered to buck or kick. Unless you're apparently messing with his back feet. I have fell off of him when we had two of us on him and a dog came up and nipped his back leg and he crow hopped and my friend lost his balance and we both slid off. And another time my friend was riding him and jumping big logs and she was not holding on real well. And she went over my horse's head and landed in front of him on the ground. He is awesome riding. He is awesome riding even when other greenbroke horses are being stupid around him. He's not a deadhead either. The price on him is $550 because I just looked at his feet the other day and the old shoes need to come off and he needs his feet trimmed up and reshod. And in case we have a dry summer winter, most of the time I ride him barefooted. But these past 6 months, he's been needing shoes. He's not a big horse. Call me.
You know, sometimes there's too much information. The first ad had not enough. This one had way too much. What you always say, you're trying to sell the horse. You really don't need to talk to us about every time you fell off and how it happened. And, you know, I like.
And the other thing is, like, you've got him at $550 because I looked at his feet. How bad, poor horse has not had his shoes taken off in 6 months. 6 months?
Which is really a year. You know that really means a year, don't you? You know, in Craigslist speak. Yeah, really means a year. I predict this person is 12 years old. Probably 12 to 14 years old. Yeah,
we are in southeast Oklahoma. This is where, you know, my husband's from there and everything. In southeast Oklahoma, a 12-year-old brain could be in a 40-year-old person's body.
Now, I love, too, this is the first ad that we've ever had that said that this horse needs an experienced horse farrier. We've never had that before.
But he's never offered to kick. This ad is awful. I mean, that's a great, really bad ad, Beth. Good job. Good job, Beth.
Yeah, Beth did a good job with that one. Leonard France sent this one in. Six-year-old appendix for sale, $2,500. Oh, it's in Crestview, Florida. Tequila is a six-year-old bay. First of all, if the horse's name is Tequila, you be skeptical right away. Just saying. Tequila is a six-year-old bay appendix mare. Is registered, however, I do not have any way of getting her papers. So she is being sold as grade. She is the pasture boss, no tire kickers. Okay, I got the thing about, there's going to be a trend in the ads as we go through them today, and you want to listen to this trend. It's no tire kickers is the trend today.
Really?
First of all, everybody looking at a horse is a tire kicker. Nobody's going to say, I want to buy your horse without seeing it for $2,500 and come out. That's like, I want to buy that car in the used car lot, but I don't want to drive it. That's what that's like. Right?
It's the same thing.
I want to drive the horse. I want to drive your horse. I'm not kicking tires. I'm just looking at your horse.
Yeah.
$2,500.
Absolutely. Biz and Sam. Yeah, good luck, Tequila. Biz, Sam, send in the next one.
I love this one.
I love this one. This is fantastic. This is the one they're looking for, full care boarding, or actually it's a boarding facility, and it is a single horny woman that is in charge of this place. Because you'll hear this. Full care boarding, $150. Discounts for male boarders. And this says Lebanon, and I think Lebanon is in Kentucky. So, yeah, I believe so. Full care boarding, $150, indoor arena in Lebanon. Full care 12x12 matted stalls with use of 100x120 indoor arena. Nice location, friendly boarders, lessons, training available. On-site manager, stall cleaner, awesome quality care at a price that meets the economic times of horse people. Let's face it, we all love our horses, but they are costly. So I'm aiming to keep costs down while still providing a wonderful place for your horse. As a horse owner and boarder at my own house, $150, you can't be feeding the horses, okay?
I know, that's cheap.
24/7 ferret vet on call, horseshoe are available by appointment, trailer parking, ample turnout. You will not find a great place like this. It's such a fair price for quality care. Stalls are going to fill up fast. It's a zero drama barn. Discounts for male boarders of $50 a month. Basically, I am sick of all these women. I need some men. I'm horny. And I will give you $100 a month board if you are a dude.
She's trying to keep it a zero drama barn.
Exactly. That, and she's looking for a man.
I wonder if you get $100 off if you're a good-looking guy.
Ooh, it's free board. Free board. Now, see, what I would do is I would run the scam of, oh, they're my husband's horses. Have him go in, him check it out. He wants to board his horses there, $100 a month, and then I come in. Yep,
oh,
I'm
going to
ride his horses today. Yeah, I'm. But I wouldn't board there because she can't feed the horses.
Can you even legally do that? Is that discrimination, by the way?
I don't know. Probably somebody could sue, but bless her little heart, she probably didn't have any money to defend herself.
That was a good one. Thank you. Thank you, Biz Sam.
Biz.
All right. Joy sent this one in. Joy Smith sent this one in. Another new name, I think. Bob, 11-year-old thoroughbred Dark Bay, $750 in Placerville. I don't have no idea where that is. Bob is a 16-3 Dark Bay. He has a blaze that runs down over the side of his nose. He's been taken everywhere from camping to beaches. I'm the second owner, and I've had him for 3 months. I think he's an easy, amazing horse. Mom was a racer, but owner didn't want to race him. He was up on his shots and comes with the tack, bridle, pad, and saddle. He's not dumb, and he's spook-proof. Wonderful for trail rides, and he's been jumped. Good with kids, but would be a better fit for a rider who wants a challenge. He's stubborn from not being rode for a year, but since I've had him, he's slimmed down and regained some of his muscle line. It's tragic to get rid of him, but I can't afford him. Please email for pics. Only available to serious buyers, and he is no prancing pony, I'll tell you that. He likes to challenge you. Now, there is an ad that actually is well written. She made this crazy nut job freaky horse sound terrific, like he's going to be the most wonderful thing in the world because he's going to challenge you and make you a better person and rider.
Now, Glenn, when you say it's a really good ad, Joy Smith, I would like to point out that I did realize that there's no punctuation. I would like to point out that the wonderful for trail rides and he's been jumped good with kids, but prefer better fit for a rider who wants a challenge. He's stubborn from not being rode for a year, but since I've had him, he's slimmed down and regained some of his muscle line. It's tragic to get rid of him, but I can't afford him. Please email for pics. That, Glenn, is one sentence. How dare you mess that up?
I was too busy thinking about how she was trying to couch the fact that this horse is a nut job.
Now, why would you sell a horse after 3 months? I mean, there's something wrong with it if you're selling it after 3 months. I understand.
Yeah, this one's great. This one's crazy.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, Robin Donahue, Joy, thank you very much. Robin Donahue, excuse me, sent in the next one. 16-foot trailer trade for guns. $1,250 in Beltham. Again, somebody
again.
That would not pass a background check for a gun, so they have to trade for it. This is a heavy duty trailer that is pipe top as well. I would like to sell, but will trade as a whole for guns. I will also take partial trade for guns, and I have cash to trade up. I will not trade my trailer even for your $800 gun. I'm looking for matching value and cash to boot on either end of the deal. Call Tyler. Awesome. Oh, boy. Glenn Forrester sent in the next one, and he says that it looks like an ad that was written in Elvish.
That's why I gave this one to you, because I hate those movies and you like them, so I thought you could speak Elvish.
Oh, my gosh. I probably should pre-read these before I just start reading them on the show here. I'll do my best. If you can tell me what I'm advertising here, I don't know what. I'll give you one. A GameStag. GameStag. $20 in Kyoto. I have a sweater Alboni Cross. I have a seal. I have Dom Wastapi. I have Alboni Hat. Also have Alboni Cock for $70 cash only. Stags are around 9 months old. Price of stags, $20 to $85 cash only. Thank you and have a great day. What is an Alboni Cock, a seal, dumb toppy?
And a sweater Alboni. A sweater. I don't know. Are these, is it chickens?
Well,
it can't be chickens. It's too expensive for chickens.
Alboni cock. That sounds like a rooster.
Yeah, it does sound like a rooster.
But stags are deer. So, like, they're chicken deer. Duh.
That's chicken deer. Oh, now we get it. Maybe they are
Alboni.
Now Alboni.
It's clear. Yeah, now it's crystal clear. They're half chicken, half deer. So thank you, Glenn Forrester. I want to buy one.
Nobody has one of those. You would be the only one in the neighborhood with a chicken deer.
Absolutely.
What do you think it does in the morning? Runs around cock-a-doodle-dooing the top of its lungs?
Hopefully not. Hopefully it's the deer head, chicken body.
Yudi sent the next one in. $100 mini horse, $109.
What?
$100 mini horse - $109 in St. Regis.
What a deal.
Yeah. Really cute Palomino mini horse. He is a rescue. He had lice really bad when I got him, and he was nearly bald. His feet were bad, too. And although I would say he's not 100%, he is way better than he was. I was going to use him for pulling, but I think he is too small. He had two blue eyes. He had two blue eyes. What's he got now? I don't know. This boy is not wild. He leads well. Loves to be loved, good with his feet. serious people, please. No pictures. Come and see him. Don't have time for tire kickers. If you want a mini, here he is. Trade hay if you have it. He had two blue eyes. Is
if
one gone now?
Trade hay, for a trade hay for a mini, what is that, one bale? Here you go.
Yeah.
Feed him for a year.
$100 mini horse for $109. There you go. That's a deal.
And it says, I'll trade for hay if you have it. Well, if you don't have any hay, you shouldn't be getting a dang horse.
And I love how this. I love how, again, we're selling a horse and how she just puts it out there. This horse had lice, and this horse was bald and ugly. His feet were bad, too. And then later on, he says, good with his feet. So there
yeah.
you go. Yeah.
Serious people only, though.
Come yeah, no tire him. Kickers, damn it. No
that's the other thing. It says, serious people, please, no pictures. You got to come and see them. But I don't have time for people kicking tires. So you're not allowed to see them before you come see them. But if you don't see them and you don't like them, then you can't have them. But you don't waste my time.
And that's because there's no picture here because his hair has not grown back. He's still bald with scabs all over.
Bless his little heart. Poor little thing.
I know. And she is afraid that they would call the Humane Society to come out and repossess this pony, this mini horse. That's what it was. Trailer for one horse. This is a trailer picture, our weekly trailer picture, and this was sent in by JJ, which is another new name. Trailer for one horse, $500 in Whitewood, South Dakota. Trailer for one horse, floor good, lights work, picture is old, jack is fixed, painted inside. And this trailer is painted Enterprise Starship Gray. It is
This is
silver.
A spaceship trailer.
It
it's
is.
A spaceship trailer.
It looks like you should have had the Enterprise with a little hitch on the back pulling this trailer through space. That's what it looks like. It's a two-horse trailer with what looks to be about 1,000 doors. I'm not sure what all those doors are on this trailer. But the wheels are filled up. It has fenders. It does not look like the floor is rusted out. It's one of the better trailers we've ever had. But it does need the decal of the Enterprise on the side.
No, because it is metallic silver. Let's point that out. But here's what they did wrong. You know, if you look, you know, when you put the little thing you wind down to, it's a bumper pull. So the little arm that goes down all the way to the ground to hold it up. You're supposed to chalk the wheels. You're supposed to chalk the wheels so the trailer doesn't roll backwards. Well, this trailer, it's like the more they wound it, the further it went backwards. So the actual bar that's facing the ground is at about a 45-degree angle because this sucker has rolled as far backwards as it can. So you may have a little bit of an adjustment to make on the front. It's a descent now.
Well, I didn't realize what time it was, Jamie. Let's save the others. Let's end on that one. Let's save the others for next week, Jennifer, the last couple. We got to pick a winner. I don't know what you think, but we have never seen an ad that discounted for male boarders. I mean, what do you think?
I think Beth with the really bad ad with the person that fell off her horse and described every single one of them.
That's pretty
good, too. That one and the discount for male boarders, Biz Stam. So Beth and Biz, I think, are our winners.
Okay, so who wins this first waiters? I'll let you decide. So then you're the
Ooh.
Evil one.
Oh my gosh, that's not fair, Jennifer.
Which did you like better, Jennifer?
I laughed hard. She laughed harder at Biz's.
Yes, at the male boarders.
I'm sorry, Beth. At best, the one with the people falling off the horses. That one's funny.
Yeah, the people
I like
falling
that.
Off the horses was pretty darn hilarious. Yeah.
All right, Beth wins his first waiters, and Biz gets the HRN coffee mug with the chocolate. So,
so hard. They were both awesome.
I know.
Awesome.
They were good. They were both good. Well, thank you, everybody, and all the new people. Keep sending them in. You're going to win one of these days, but keep finding new ones and sending them our way. We really appreciate it. Have a terrific weekend, everybody. We'll see you all back here on Monday on Horses in the Morning. Don't forget that you can listen to all the past episodes of Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com. Subscribe on iTunes. It's the best, easiest way to do it. They'll be automatically downloaded to your player. Just go to the podcast section and search for Horses in the Morning. You have a terrific time at baby birthing class tomorrow.
Chad is so excited. He's not even sleeping. He's so excited to go to a birthing class tomorrow. Oh, my gosh. Everybody spay, neuter, and geld, and go to Facebook, the MASH Horses Facebook page, and share, please. They need homes. You guys are
breathe.
Awesome.
Breathe. Push. Breathe.
Oh, shut up, Glenn. Shut up.